So Adora Udoji is away, but she'll be back on Monday, and we're looking forward to that. But all this morning, we've been asking what songs get you through hard times. No more calls. We have a winner.
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm calling from New Jersey. The song that I always listen to that gets me back up, and I don't know the name of who produced it, but it's an English band with kind of a punk rock feel, and they all sing, "I Get Knocked Down."
We have a winner. It's Hub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Here's another song to add to your playlist. Carrie from Long Island City, New York, emailed us, "Guaranteed to get your blood flowing, no matter how deep your funk or broke your heart, The Skin of My Yellow Country Teeth by Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah." Okay, 877-MY-TAKE for more songs or mytake at thetakeaway.org. All right, if you've been paying attention to the news, you know about the 17-mile-long particle-smashing Large Hadron Collider under the border of Switzerland and France. It's a multi-billion-dollar science project supposed to give us new insights into the nature of the early universe, but it's a classic story. Scientists put together a machine to test something out, and they switch it on. It's a great storyline for Robert Crease, who's the author of The Prism and the Pendulum, the 10 most beautiful experiments in science. He's also the chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Stony Brook University. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, John.
I'm so excited to have you here, because when they switched that machine on, I just thought of all the science fair projects and all the people who've, you know, built these little boxes that are supposed to do this or that. I mean, there's a classic kind of sense of joy about switching on an experiment that goes way back to the early days of science.
Yes, you can't. It's something familiar to every science student, every science, every high school student, as you said, who's built and got an experiment to work, and it's working the way it should, and you feel you feel that it's a beautiful thing.
Part of it is designing the experiment that's actually going to show or test the proposition that you want tested. There's a beauty in that, and then part of it is actually building the machine itself. What are the 10 most beautiful experiments in science?
Well, I'm also a columnist for the magazine Physics World.
Sure.
And a few years ago, I was interested by the fact that scientists often use the word beauty a lot. It's a beautiful experiment, a beautiful result, and I was wondering whether this was a metaphorical use of the word beauty, or whether there was something more to it. So I asked scientists to give me lists of their most beautiful experiments, and I compiled a list of the 10 most beautiful from that. Hundreds of people responded.
And what was the top of the list?
Well, the first one, in chronological order, the most beautiful experiment was Eratosthenes' experiment to determine the circumference of the Earth. Eratosthenes was a Greek who lived in the 3rd century B.C., and with just a sundial and a measuring stick and elementary geometry, he lived just a little bit after Euclid, he was able to determine the circumference of the Earth. Now, think about that. That's using something as ephemeral as shadows,
right,
in order to determine something on a huge scale, something on a tiny scale to determine the dimensions of the world.
He uses the sundial to detect the curvature of the Earth and then calculates from the curvature what the circumference or the radius or, you know, might be. Right?
Yeah, use the fraction of the shadow with respect to the circle of the sundial is the same as the fraction between where he was measuring and a place where the shadow of where the sun was directly over the Earth to the dimension of the Earth itself. And he came up with a figure that was very close to the right figure.
So what's a more modern experiment that passes the beauty test here?
Well, the most beautiful experiment, according to my respondents, was an experiment that shows that quantum mechanics really is mysterious. That is, that things down there don't behave the way that things do up here.
God actually does play dice. Einstein disappointment, you know, where he thought actually quantum mechanics couldn't be true, but this proved that in fact it is pretty strange.
Yes, an electron can go through two different places at once. It can travel through a tiny slit and two tiny slits simultaneously.
And how did a machine prove that without getting too technical?
You know that there's something called an interference pattern that's right, made when objects travel through it, like a wave travels through two slits. There's a particular kind of pattern that's created on the other side. And what this experiment did, and it was done by a group of Italians in 1974 in a a Japanese scientist in 1989, is that you see this pattern emerging on the other side if you send through single electrons one at a time. And if you see it recreated, it's one of the spookiest things that you've ever seen.
Hmm. And it says that it basically passed through two at once. It was in two places at once.
With just a little bit of understanding of the concept, it's remarkably spooky.
Galileo was pretty good at this.
Well, one of the top experiments was the Leaning Tower experiment, which science historians have shown that it's not apocryphal. It probably really did happen.
And remind us of how that experiment went.
Well, he climbed to the top of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and he dropped two balls, one of which was much heavier than the other, and they arrived at the bottom at just about the same time.
And it dispelled the myth that actually a heavier object travels faster than a lighter object.
The Aristotelian notion that an object that's twice as heavy is going to travel twice as fast.
And, of course, that proved that the force of gravity is the same everywhere.
That gravity affects everything equally.
And that's what's your impression of the super collider as a beautiful experiment? It's kind of unwieldy, and you can't actually do it in your basement.
Well, that's an interesting question, because of the 10 experiments that I described in my list, they were all tabletop experiments done by two or three people, and the question is, can you still have beautiful science in the age of big science? Can you still have beauty in the age of big science? But something like the Higgs is sort of like what Eratosthenes did, and it connects. It's something very tiny. It happens that
the Higgs boson, which is what they're detecting over there, is
something very tiny and small, and yet it has implications for cosmology. It connects very tiny, the very small scale with the very large scale.
And I guess Robert Crease, we should be happy that you can't actually produce black holes on a tabletop. That could have disturbing implications for our universe, probably, wouldn't you say?
That would have big implications, yes.
Robert Crease is the author of The Prism and the Pendulum, the 10 Most Beautiful Experiments in Science. He's chairman of the Department of Philosophy at Stony Brook University. His next book is about beautiful equations. Lots of ways you can catch up with us at The Takeaway. You can go to Facebook, Friend Feed, Twitter, iTunes, thetakeaway.org. We're talking about music. What songs pick you up when you're down? Michael sent us an email. He says, "You, Me, Dancing by Los Campesinos." Sounds like 80s, but it was written last year by some Welsh kids. Irish Campesinos. God, you love our Welsh Campesinos. Here's your takeaway for today.
It's a bad feeling when people feel like it's over before it's even begun.
Yeah, and those are people in Chicago. That's Dave Zirin, report sports writer and author of the book A People's History of Sports in the United States. The Chicago Cubs will not play this weekend because of Hurricane Ike. We're also covering Sarah Palin's recent television appearances. What did you take away from her interview? What questions haven't been asked? We've got a big debate going on our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. Adora Udoji will be back next week. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.